Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Daf Tezayin. Okay, let's just review where we've been holding briefly. We spoke about the issue of the Porotzke Omed. Here we have a sukkah which has, at least we thought it had, an equal amount of Tzchach Pasur, namely things like Shpudim, which Rashi was assuming is made out of metal, which would make it a Davar Mekabel Tumah, Halukot HaMitah. And they're up against each other, but there's as much space between them as there are the space of the Shvud itself, which seems to relate to the Sugya and Shabbat of Porutzka Omeid. And there's a general question as to whether if you have something which is kosher, something which is posel, one next to the other, in the case of a mechitza, you have non-mechitza, and then you have yes mechitza, whether that's considered to be a kosher mechitza. If it's a kosher mechitza, it would be a kosher sukkah. But according to Ravuna Breda of Yoshua, if it's not a kosher mechitza, then it should not be a kosher sukkah, because you've got the kosher and non-kosher part being equal is the equivalent of a mechitza with the kosher and non-kosher part being equal. So the Gemara's approach that was taken yesterday, at least the way Rashi understood that approach, was that actually we had a little bit of extra space. Turns out that we meant to make that extra space, we were mechaving to make that extra space, and therefore we had a little bit of space of kosher schach that was larger than the other one, and that was enough to put us over the edge. Rava said, according to Rashi, that the case was that we're going to balance the schach, we're going to go counter crosswise over that schach, over the pasul schach, and by definition, if you're going crosswise, then you've got more of the other schach, and therefore it's going to be mevatalit. One of the questions that we asked yesterday, Tosis points out in Rashi, it doesn't make sense to say bitol where there's no mixture. In what sense is it bitol? I mean, there's no mix. Actually, some learn that Rashi, when he said rov, he didn't mean in terms of bitol. He didn't mean in terms of bitol of tarovet. He meant in terms of bitol of usage. In other words, that for all intents and purposes, it's clear that at that point, the spits become nothing but a support for the schach. And therefore, the schach is of the essence, and the support is just, it's like your clothing is bottled to your body. It doesn't mean it's bottled barov, obviously. Well, unless you're fat, you know. It means it's bottled in the sense of being a supportive structure. It's never going to be mevatel, the structure that it's supporting, which is a beautiful, it's carbon sandal support. It's a beautiful approach, doesn't it? Don't mistake this for bittel barov. Rov is rov. No, is that bittel barov? It's bittel to the schach. That was another question. We pointed out yesterday, actually, this is a carbon tunnel. It brings a riot from here that there seems to be no problem of a maimed. The maimed is makabotoma. That's exactly what's happening over here. He actually, or others who try to get out of that, the riot, it seems to be a beautiful riot. It's a number of very important nekudas in this mission. We pointed out that the shpudim, being as they're thin, obviously have to be within a love and share of each other. Nonetheless, that love doesn't seem to bother anybody. Nobody suggested that the entire top of the sukkah is covered with shpudim, despite the fact that we put the schach on it. You know? This is a problem we're going to see later on. Tosfos raises the issue of things that are running across your sukkah where they have to worry about love. We have to relate this when we get there tomorrow. But it certainly, I mean, it seems to be a classic case of a maimed a davar mekabel tumah. There are some who use the same svara that we used yesterday. We've used it a few times already in the sugya. It was the way Rashi was learning the svara of bitul tikra. Bitul tikra means when somebody is coming to undo a problem, we don't make the gezerah that related to that problem. In other words, if somebody's trying to fix his roof so that it should be a kosher sukkah, we're not going to tell him, hey, you can't do that because of a gezerah stikra. He says, you're an idiot. That's why I'm taking it apart. When you're a stikra. Obviously, I'm not going to do it this way if I'm coming to fix it. So here, too, sometimes that's the meaning of the Mishnah. A guy has shpudim on top of his sukkah. And why is he going out of his way to put on tzchach? Because he recognizes that shpudim are not kosher tzchach. The din of a maimid is a gezerah that we're afraid that if you're maimid your tzchach with a dove that's mekabel tumah, you'll end up being mesachach with a dove that's mekabel tumah. But if over here I'm going out of my way to be mevatel the dove that's mekabel tumah to make sure I have more kosher tzchach, we're going to be gezer on you not to be maimid it because you may end up using it. It's ridiculous. And that's the whole point that I'm doing over here is I'm trying to be mevatel. Some say that's why the Mishnah isn't bothered about the idea of a maimid.
Zera never has to do with them. People see it, other people will see.
Yes, absolutely. That's why a lot of taina. There's many who taina on this. What kind of svar is this anyway? The way Rashi was learning. The Ramban says that. What the heck is the difference? What he intends? I mean, why isn't it an issue of how people will learn it? That's why they learn Bitul Tikra in a completely different way. But I'm saying, with Rashi's logic, it makes a lot of sense. There are many other. Look, basically, throughout these are such halakhically rich sugyas. Wherever you have halakhically rich sugyas, you've got so many different possible approaches. We try to do them all when we go to the thing, we'll go bananas. But it's kedai, I think, just to point out where the problems are, but try to take a consistent, simple approach to the sugya, which is Rashi's approach really throughout the Masechta. Very consistent, very simple, very clear, and just to point out some of the problems that others bring up that Rashi doesn't bring up at all, which, by the way, one of them was brought up yesterday by our dear president, which we didn't mention, but the problem of the nisarim that are smooth and so on, the additional gzera over there is a Rabbeinu Tam Pshita, which is very nogeh lalokh, which Rashi never mentions, which is that a sukkah has to let in rain, which is part of his understanding of Zerat Tikra. It's not just that you'll end up sitting on because it's nice. It's because if your sukkah basically is a full-scale roof, so you're who's going to be able to now be mechalik? And the whole point, people relate to the sukkah, you know, it's sort of like loose and lets in the rain, and you can see the stars, you know, the talk. So people actually view this, if it wouldn't be for that popularization of what tzchach is, which it isn't, I can explain to somebody what tzchach really is, when that just boils down to what their normal house is. So, and basically, the Gemara has ended up creating a myth about tzchach that has enabled sukkahs to survive. that's what's really happened. So the Rabbeinu Tam views part of that myth, which we call Gzeras Tikra, basically, and that's what created that myth, not to use materials that would be used for a roof. So he ties that any roof, as well, otherwise what's wrong with shingles? Take a little piece of shingles, you don't have to shlosh tvachim, there's no problem, you certainly don't have arba tvachim, and you just make a roof out of shingles. It's perfectly safe, no rain, wood shingles, why not? So there's even those who hold that even if it's hammered down, it's not a problem. It's not considered to be covered. That's a machlokas. Again, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's a problem. That our president was asking yesterday. So Enoch Inami, one of the inyonim over here is that we have nisorim that are smooth, that are sanded, and a chayach to put them up, one up against the other, so that you end up with a tikra that's basically waterproof. It's also part of Xeras Tikra. That was the problem earlier. Okay, so Tosis, as I mentioned to you yesterday, does not like Rashi's chat over here, because, first of all, the bittul problem doesn't make sense. Secondly, he says, the Gemara just seems to be running around in circles. You're asking Efshel at something. You say, well, but you did it. I mean, well, what's the point of that? It's not conceptual at all. I mean, who cares? They say the case was. I mean, I don't know. You ask. Does the case have to be? No, it doesn't have to be. Therefore, Tosfos says, the Girsa is, and this relates, by the way, to the general question of whether Efshel at something. Generally speaking, we assume that our measurements are not that exact to talk about a case of you have exactly the amount of this as you have of that. It's, you come up with a halakha that it's exactly. I mean, it's not going to be exact. And therefore, we always have to allow for a little bit of indeterminacy in our measurement. So how are we going to decide whether there's more of this, more of that? So their gears was va'iyef shalatzamtzeh. Tosfos takes it even one step better. He says a beautiful thing, Doctor. He says a beautiful thing, Tosfos. He says, even if you'll fill up, we're not arguing about the size of the space. Let's give. The space is the same. Okay. You're putting in tzchach. How in the world are you going to tell me that there's not some type of space between the schach and the edge of the space? It's impossible for the schach to be absolutely closing that space, right? There's always going to be a little tiny bit of airspace between the two. That's pretty efshel at some, so you can't get the schach. You're sticking the schach between, which is what we thought, you're along the same direction as the shpudim. So how are you going to be mitzamtzim that the amount of schach should be the same? You're going to end up relying on airspace, but airspace is not going to be mitzarif with the shpudim. How can you do that?
You can't be talking about over.
Ah, therefore, says Tosfos, b'madiv. Madiv doesn't mean you make more space. Madiv means you let the edge of the schach go over the edge. Just so then what's rather adding? So what's the difference when you do it crosswise or lengthwise? So Rav is just saying, look, you can't rely on Ma'adif unless you know for a fact you're going the other direction. Man, who's going to say that you specifically went over the edge like this? If you have to go over the edge, you go it crosswise, and by definition you're going over the edge. That's all. Completely different, simple approach to the sugya, just a question of airspace.
And then you include the airspace at the edge, and that's where the difference?
Yeah, because now it'll be even.
The one airspace on here,
and
the other airspace is all the way
through. I know what you're talking about. I know this. It's not equal. We're still ready to say B'nichlas V'yotzei. That we're saying, but the question of Yefshel at Samson didn't have anything to do with the space. It had to do with how do you get the schach up to the edge? And the answer was you went over the edge. Or you went crosswise. So you had to go over the edge. So
I thought it's every piece and piece that you're doing.
It's not what I'll talk to you afterwards about this. Something's wrong with the way I'm thinking about it. Okay, we also Tosfos is or Rashi? Rashi's Efshel at Samson is a question of space. Tosfos is Efshel at Samson is a question of covering the space with schach. Nothing to do with each other.
No, I'm saying even in the general concept of Efshel at Samson, is it by look or really with measuring?
By really. That's the problem, yeah. Right. That's the issue. Is there such a thing as accurate measurement that we're relying on? Or if ever you have a question where Rov is going to make a difference, you're always going to be in a matzav, basically, of Sofid. Of course, in reality, the Gemara is mechalik between random events and defined events. In other words, something which happened, generally say, yifshar, bidei shamayim. Dei Shemayim Yevshar Metzamtzim. Bidei Adam, where you set out to be Metzamtzim, then the halacha may accept your level of Tzimtzum. Yeah, that's something else. But again, it's not the way Tosfos learning has nothing to do with the sugya all over Shas of Yevshar Metzamtzim. We also pointed out yesterday that the Rambam is Soser himself in the sugya, because the Gemara seems to make the sugya of Sukkah interdependent with the sugya of Mechitzas and Shabbos, and the Rambam paskins in opposite direction when it comes to Sukkah and when it comes to Shabbos. So when it comes to the din of the Sukkah, over there he says that it wouldn't be good, even though when it comes to Shabbos, he says that it is considered to be. And there are those that are Mechalik, and that the Rambam is saying that if you have Avir, which is the equivalent of the Schach, and this, by the way, is a question. We paskin later. Gemara says later, if you have the avir and the schaf is exactly equal, then it's not kosher. So why is it kosher over here? Well, over here you've got schaf pasul. Why isn't that the same thing as the avir?
The avir and the schaf is...
Yeah, if you have... Yeah, so then at the bottom you end up with chamatam ruba mitzilta, because of the spreading of the light. Right? This is the way Tosfos understands it anyway. So why over here all of a sudden is it kosher? So that the achronim are mechalik. That the fact that a sukkah has tzel at the bottom, and the tzel is a result of schach posel, is not a problem, as long as it has tzel. That's the poritz goemid issue. But if you have avir, then you don't have tzel. It's another problem. Okay? But in any event, the Rambam clearly is distinguishing the two sugyas, despite the fact that the Gemara puts it together. And there are those who say that the Rambam, according to the Rambam, you know, the Gemara could have said, ulashitatcha, and started asking for the dirim of sukkah, and just left it at this because we had another way out. Because we were able to say, let's talk about b'madif and so on. So the Gemara didn't pursue the other approach. And maybe that's nothing to do with it. But who's to say that necessarily we're left because of our havamina, that the Mishnah and the Gemara and Shabbos are interrelated? But is that so poshet? That the din of mechitzes of poritz ka'imid is necessarily dependent on the din of sukkah? Why? Which is the din in tzel and so on? That was a great leap. I mean, there was no reason for us to say that the Gemara necessarily remained with that approach. And indeed, the Rambam just simply ignores it. He's got cuts. Okay. All right. The next thing that we had, you know, it's the Ravid once writes in one of his bellows of frustration. He doesn't let it out too often. It's just sometimes it's just insulting. But you know, there's one place where he says, you know something? I would swear that this guy went out of his way to take every Gemara, turn it upside down just to confuse me. But anyway, the next Gemara that we had went back to the Kalim issue. Of course, this is part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah introduced Shpudim. Okay, Shpudim seems rather straightforward, at least if they're metal. Unfortunately, of course, not everybody learns that they're metal, but the way Rashi learns, it's nice and simple. Metal Shpudim are obviously Mekabel Tumas that are no good. You know. Well, because the Aruchot HaMitah were clearly an attempt to confuse us. When we're throwing in Aruchot HaMitah, so then we start thinking, oh, wait a minute, that sounds like the old Chitzim Zecharim problem. Now, how do they get into the mission here? Because they always do this. The Gemara introduced this by confusing us with that machlokas, forcing us to distinguish between a Gzeiras Tikra and a Gzeiras Kalim. And then right away, immediately after doing that, always in the Gemara before, always introduces the next mission by, you know, prepping you, and then you read the next mission. What? Aruchot HaMitah, but you just said that we don't have a Gzeira of Kalim Mishuvim. So now how come all of a sudden we're worried about Kalim Shavurim? So that forces you to distinguish, to say to yourself like this, Bishlam, if something was already once a Kli, and now we were Mavatlet from a Kli, so there I can understand. Maybe I won't break it enough, so it'll retain its din of a Kli. Maybe there's a din of Dihui, having once been Schach Puzzle, remains Schach Puzzle. I mean, my mind could start planning all types of possibilities. Mashenke would have a do-it-yourself kit that hasn't as yet been made into a Kli, so Yinochinami over there, we don't have Gezerat Kalim. But it's clear that something's going on in this mission. We're not just throwing in Aruchot HaMitah for the fun of it. So now the question is, so what about the Shpudim? Was that just to put us off track, you know? Or were the Shpudim themselves a question? Some learn indeed that the Shpudim were talking about wooden Shpudim. So then if it's wooden Shpudim, so then on the contrary, so it's not Shifrei Kalim, it's not Kalim Bichlal. Why is it considered? So it's a wooden Shpudim with a metal tip where it fits into the rotisserie. So now the question is, whether they go busting a tip or whether they go, oh, come on. I mean, that's really the arrow all over again, right? Okay, but it's fascinating. But again, we'll just take Rashi's shot. But that introduced us to the din of Shivrei Kalim. So then we were saying, aha. So it seems to be a raya to Rav Ami Bar Tevye Mishpshat. Because the Gemara is the Mishnah's taking for granted. If you have a broken kli, it's not kosher schach. The only reason it's kosher in the Mishnah is because it was only serving as the support for the rest of the schach. But it itself wouldn't be kosher schach. To which the Gemara answered by bringing in the Mishnah in Kalim, that there's such a thing as a bed which has been broken into its constituent parts, which if it has sufficient to reconstruct the bed rapidly, so it has either the short leg, the foot of the bed, together with two legs that have the click mechanism in the little piece in the leg, in the back of the leg, so then it's easy to simply click the bed into it and put it up against the wall and to use it. By the way, Tosfos learns that's only if the rest of the bed exists. Go try to find a piece that'll click in there from some other bed, huh? So if you got rid of the bed, forget it. Then this is not going to work. Or, for that matter, if the rest of the bed is owned by somebody else at this point, it's no longer accessible. So you're very, very dependent on the actual circumstances. But the Mishnah might be talking about a case where you have a functional piece of a bed. But maybe Enochinami, if you have Stam Shivrei Kalim, maybe there is no gezeira. Once it's already less than the shear that's right to be mekabel tumah anymore, would be mevatel. Actually, be not only mekabel tumah, even mevatel the tumah of the bed, mevatel the tumah of the clue that it came from. At that point, there's no gezeira of shivrei kelim. Possible. That's so interesting, because a lot of Rishonim compare this to the question of ladders, and they're actually machal, but it's really a kelim sugi, but it's interesting that you're asking, because in kelim it's clear that by ladders, everybody considers it to be mekabel tumah. But they say that that's because you carry the ladder with the pieces. So over there it has a completely different chashivas. The edges, when you can fit them into the shalavim of the ladder, that's the way it's carried. You notice even the ladders that fold or that bend up into themselves, you always hold the edge pieces, whereas the bed isn't made that way. Anyway, that's how they're machalic between the two, but that's really not our sugi here at all. Gufa. So now today's Gemara Daf Tesayin. Let's start now from the seventh line down over here, sixth line down. Gufa. Omer Vani Bar Tevyumi Sechecha Bevaloi Kelim Psula. What exactly was meant by Beloi Kelim? He was talking about something that Bichlal would be Mevatel the din of Tuma. Says Abaye, even Matloniot, Shein Bem Shalosh Al Shalosh, Belochazin Lola Aniim Velola Ashirim. You have now little pieces of rag that have come from a larger. Come from a larger sheet, let's say, you cut up into little rags. If you don't have three etzba'ot, by three etzba'ot, they're no longer usable even for patching. At that point, they're not considered to be kelim. One second here, So over there, nonetheless, says Rabami Bar Tevyumi, since initially you had a kli over here, the fact that now this is ripped up into shreds does not take away the problem. Again, why that's true and how it's dissimilar to the earlier case of Nisarim Meshufim, there's a lot of different shitas in the Rishonim as to whether this is a gzeir that you won't tear it properly, you won't realize that it's really larger than Shalash Etzpaos, Meshalash Etzpaos, or whether it's a din in dichui and things like that. There's different approaches. Or whether there's actually a chash that you'll come to use a kli lechatchila if we allow you to use shivrei kelim. Omer Abaye, Matloni shebem shalosh fai. Etani kavas rabbi bar tevyumi. We do have a brighter like him. Machatzelet shel shifa v'shel gemi shiyareha hafapi shenifchetu mikishiura. Normally, when you make a mat for sleeping purposes, and that mat is makabel, therefore tumas mishkav u'moshav, even though it's flat, and it's made out of wood or out of cane or out of something a woody like reed shishifa, nonetheless it's makabel tuma. Why? Because it's reila mishkav u'moshav. Once something is reila mishkav u'moshav, then it becomes makabel tuma, not as normal kelim, but it now has a din of a kli of mishkan. So therefore, it is right to be mitameh like any other kli.
Wouldn't the wooden shikud have that same thing?
No.
Mm-mm.
Because normally, kli eitz, things that are made out of woody material, the chlorophyll, are only mitameh if they have a base kibble. That's the problem. Over here, it would be metabe. The shear of that tumah, as opposed to normal kelim, the shear of that tumah, or as opposed to normal begadim, is 6 by 6 dvachik. It's quite large. It has to be right for sitting on or lying on. So in Achinami, over there, we understand that, of course, that would be mekabel tumah. How about where it now is, it's unraveled. So now it's broken down. It's less than its shear. It's nifchetu mishiyureha. And you have a little bit left. Nonetheless, eimis hachachim behem. Why not? Obviously, because we have a gzeira of shivrei kelim. So that bright, that seems to be saying clearly, like Rav Abba, if you take a cane, large pieces of cane, like we do, and you make a roll of it, like we do, and you unroll it over your sukkah, as we do, that's perfectly okay, because nobody makes a bed out of something that size. It's clearly made lechatchila to be used for schach, and therefore you could go ahead and be mesachich it. But if it's ketana, and it's suitable for just unrolling on your Japanese floor and so on, so then einachinami, then it's considered to be roi for sitting on or lying on, and then ein mesachichimba. Rabbi Eliezer mer afi mekabel tuma vein mesachichimba. Even a large one is also usable as a large bed. People, the main usage of a machatzelet, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is for bedding or for lying or walking on, and therefore it's not considered to be roi l'schach ever. Of what? Chavila. You mean of the Xeras Otzer?
Yes.
Right, because it's a machatzelet. Chavilas means something that is tied together and then will be untied for use. This is a kli, basically. It's a type of weave. Hachotet begadish. Getting back to the case, the final case of the Tas of Alumina Asri is the case that we had, which represented, remember, Rabbi Yochanan was Madaik, that represented basically the base model of Tas of Alumina Asri, where you hollow out a haystack. So then you're ending up creating the schach ex post facto. There never was a building of schach, and now you're turning it into schach by taking it out from the inside. Let's make this very clear. If you started with a haystack that had in it an area over which you were being mesacher and creating tzel, and now you continue to put hay on top of it, then it's considered to be tzel. Because once you had one tefach, remember that tefach, a tefach is sufficient of an area. It may not be kosher for a sukkah, but nonetheless, it's kosher as the definition of an ohel. As a definition of an ohel, yeah, like we had earlier. Tosfos says that the two sugyas might not even be nogea. Remember the sugya of sukkah tachas asukkah is about chlokas, whether it's tefach, or you need it four tefachim, you need it ten tefachim. But when it comes to the question of what defines the nature of shade, I mean, shade would be an area, once it has a din of an ohel, can be shaded. Why would it have to be necessarily the size of a sukkah? You're saying because, what you're saying is like this to yourselves. If I have, let's say, only a tefach high, which I created shade, and now I create the walls, so I'm basically creating a sukkah, tasev luminosi. True, but remember that a sukkah, technically speaking, in the Torah is only the tzel, sichuch. The walls of the sukkah are a requirement, but they don't define the sukkah. So if I create a wall, tasev luminosi, the Torah never said make walls. The Torah said make schach. In this case, I made schach. So you're saying, and now when I hollow it out, you're making a kosher sukkah for that schach. So what? What did the Torah say? I can't make it afterwards. The only thing I can't have as an ex post facto emergent creation out of something else that I did is the sichach itself, but over here the sichach was made. So when I first started setting down the hay, I created a sukkah. So now that I hollow it out, yeah, I got a place over there of a tefach underneath the size of a kosher sukkah, seven tefachim. Yeah.
Started.
Well, it's interesting. Rashi hasn't mentioned the kavanah. The Ritva mentions the kavanah. The Ra'a mentions the kavanah. I mean, they all say, because otherwise, if it's not without kavanah, you're back where you started from. I mean, then it should still be tasvul amasi. It's just interesting. Rashi leaves it out. He sort of takes it for granted. But the Pashto says that he wasn't thinking in that direction. You know, it could be that he's even including the fact that you could now be mitakenet and we wouldn't bother you, you know, by lifting it. He just doesn't want to get into it. Yeah. Okay. It's interesting, by the way, that Zahar goes, no, of course not. Yeah. Even a natural ohel is an ohel. So if you've got a shear of a sukkah in the first place, so then it's perfectly okay. Yeshav chal tefach shashiva, arei ze sukkah. By the way, there is a machlokas in what direction you dig. And there's two yourselves in Rashi. Are you digging down or are you digging up? Yeah, because the gears that we have over here is if you have chal tefach and then you go milamata lemala, as it says here. Others have the gears in the opposite direction. Because if you're going from bottom up, so then the question is, you're getting to the top, which wasn't put down the tail. The part that was put down the tail is the part that's right above. So then why does Rashi say you could dig up and still have the upper part, which was useless for tail at that point, still be kosher? So they don't like this gears in Rashi. They say, no, on the contrary. You'd have to dig down. If you dig down, then you're using the schach, and now you're digging down, you're digging your walls. When you dig your walls, it's not a problem. So they change the gears in Rashi in order to do this. The problem, I'll show you in a minute, a proof that's not true from the Gemara that the Akron would bring. But by the way, one additional question which our president will like. How about the fact that this haystack is so thick that it'll never rain in the haystack? And according to the Rabbeinu Tam, if it doesn't rain in, then it's not kosher schach. They asked this, the Rabbeinu Tam from this Mishnah, the Sein Achinami. According to him, you'd have to lift it up and loosen it. That's right. Okay. So in this case, it would be all right. This is the Maimer of Rav Huna. Tani Nami Achi.
What's the idea of the tefach
as a makom chashev? Not a makom chashev, a makom of an ohel. Ohel, by definition, it means that sale is possible. Because you're being ma'ahil. Lashon of sichuch, ohel, chupa, and so on, are all interrelated. Tani Nami Achi, and indeed the Brayta seems to support clearly what Rav Huna said. Hachotet begadish, lasot lo sukkah, reize sukkah. How could a Brayta say that it's a good sukkah if the Mishnah says beferish in a sukkah at all? There's only one possibility. Halav shmamina ke Rav Huna shmamina. It's got to be the way Rav Huna said. As a matter of fact, ikad rami lai mirma. Others have Rav Huna coming as the solution to the problem. And that is, they start with the Mishnah. And they ask, so how does the Brayta say Hareza Sukkah? And in this version, Rav Huna actually discovered his teretz, Lo Kasha. כאן בשיין שם חלל תפח במשך שבעה, כאן בשיין שם חלל תפח במשך שבעה. Now, if you hold, gentlemen, that there's a nafkamina, whether you go top down or bottom up, isn't that a much more sophisticated way to answer the contrast between the Mishnah and the Raita? Say, כאן ששחוטת מלמעלה למטה, כאן ששחוטת מלמעלה למטה. And they're both talking about where there was a place where there was חלל תפח. Apparently, there's no difference. I forgot who, but one of the acronym brings this is right. Okay. Yes, so Agos Maimonides very strangely uses the Mishnah of Achotik Begadish to say that you can't dig out your walls. In other words, according to him, if you, let's say you make first schach, and then you add walls, it's not kosher. Because at the time that you put up the schach, you didn't have any walls. Yeah, it's like it doesn't have a shame of schach. The walls turn it into schach. Everybody is son. On the contrary, I mean, the whole point over here is we're only concerned. How do you compare that to Sukkis Bechlah? We're not worried about the walls over. As a matter of fact, the next Mishnah seems to say precisely the opposite of what he says. Let us see the next Mishnah after we properly introduce it with a very, very long rehearsed introduction by our dear Sabbatash.
Zip the Heilige Mishnah.
Hamishal Shel Defanot Milamala Lemata. You are lowering your walls, and they're coming down. Now, what does that mean? It means you got schach. You're lowering walls, right? So you have to, it's crazy. You have kosher schach, and now you're making walls. They're coming down from the top. They haven't reached the ground, and there's still three tvachim above the ground. So then they're not a kosher mechitza. Hepsula. Why? Because as we saw before, wherever so what do you have? You have Kadesh Yizdaka Gadiba Vatrosh, which we had before. Wherever you've got a place where a small animal doesn't even have to duck its head and can come right under, that's not a mechitza. You're not basically separated from the elements, so to speak. And therefore, you don't have a wall. On the other hand, if you're growing your mechitza, milamata lamala, you're building now layers of a mechitza from the ground up. Once it gets to be asarat vachim, even though it doesn't yet reach the schach, it's fine, because now we look at that wall as extending upwards. That's our famous, the good atzik mechitza. And now it's okay. Rebbe Ayosi Omer, Keshem shilamata lamala asarat vachim, kach milamala lamata asarat vachim. So Rebbe Yossi now sets down his dictum, which is a mechitza tluya, is a kosher mechitza. Once it has the shear of asarat vachim, it has a din of a mechitza. What's the dafkamina, whether it extends from up down or from down up? The same thing. So the psul of Kadesh Yizdaka Gadiba Vatrosh would only be where you don't yet have a mechitza asara. And now you're trying to say, okay, so let's view it as connected, it's not connected. But that's the shear of lovud. We know that shear. That's the shear of three tvachim. But once you've got a kosher mechitza, it's perfectly okay, even if it's hanging in midair. As high as you want. As long as you want. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere around you. But my kamiflage, what indeed is the machlokes? Marasara mechitza tluya materet, marasara mechitza tluya materet. Exactly what it says. And indeed, you'll remember back in Erevin, this was a big, big issue, whether mechitza tluya is materet. And we ended up saying that when it comes to water, there's a special heter of a mechitza tluya, if you recall. Famous case over there was, you've got two chatzerot, one up against the other. They have a joint well between them, and the water runs basically under the wall that now separates between the two mechitzas. There's now a hole in the ground that's accessible on either side. The water is basically mixed between the two chatzeros. If there's no eruv between the two chatzeros, nobody's allowed to take the water. But if you build a wall inside the area of the hole, then already it becomes kosher when it's over the water. You have a nice picture? Look at this beautiful, beautiful picture. I hate it. Oh, my God. Oh, this is awful. Here's a nice one. There we go. Hamor Hamibuar, picture 91. This is exactly what we're talking about. Can you see it? Can you make it out? Okay, pass it around. I mean, look, I don't know what we need the picture for, but whatever. So in this case, the Gemara now wants to compare the two sugyas. Let's take a look at the sugya in Erevin for a moment. It's non-hata. It does say, the Mishnah does say now in Erevin, that if you have a bor, shebein shtei chatzirot, in memalim mimena b'shabbat, ela imken asala mechitza sarat fachim, bein milamala, bein milamata, bein mitoch ogno. The girsa here is a little bit confused. But what we really want to say is bein milamata, bein mitoch ogno. Bein milamata means whether you make that mechitza right up against the water surface, okay? Yeah. Or whether even if you make it way above the water surface, but it's at least within the hole of the ogen, in other words, that surrounds the water.
You don't even need it. Is it milamala, which means
outside? No, it cannot mean outside. That's exactly why you need it. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, the ogen is the... where we go, the edge of the hole. What's the wall? What's the word? The, no, the ridge would mean that it extends upwards, which is not what it means. No, lip means upwards. It just means the edge of the hole itself. I know, I'm sure there's a right word for it, but Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer. So Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that Beit Shammai omri milamala. Beit Shammai says it's enough if it's above the water, even if it's not touching the water, but it's within the ogen. And Beit Hillel says it has to be down at the bottom, up against the water. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't know what you guys are carrying on for. What the heck is with you? You got this big wall separating two chatzeras, and you're looking around for some crummy little mechitza inside of the ogen. I mean, what's going to be more powerful? The wall between the two chatzerot, or a formal thing inside of a hole? So it's apparently Rabbi Yehuda basically is saying the same thing Rabbi Yossi is saying. What do I need a separate mechitza up against the water? The mechitza tuluya, which is the wall. Look, I admit she's pretty, but I mean, you got to think about it all the time. I mean, come on, man. Get back to the Gemara. So what's wrong with that big wall that's going over the area between the two chatzirot? So apparently, Rabbi Yehuda there in Erevin is saying exactly the same thing that Rabbi Yossi is saying here. Rabbi Yossi is saying when it comes to the sukkah, the mechitza tluya is fine. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying when it comes to the water between the two chatzirot, the mechitza tluya is fine. So just like Rabbi Yossi said over here, mechitza tluya materet, so too Rabbi Yehuda said over there that mechitza tluya materet velohi. And that is not the case. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savalak Rabbi Yossi, lo Rabbi Yossi savalak Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, they do not have to agree with each other. We can assume that they don't. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savalak Rabbi Yossi. I mean, come on. Rabbi Yehuda was talking about Erevin. Erevin is a drabbonin. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I understand, when you make a whole thing, the drabbonin should make a chumrah and say mechitza tluya isn't kosher, but the way out of it is to make this little fake mechitza. If they're going to allow you to take the water, so they'll allow you to use the wall between the chatzeres to take the water. I mean, after all, it's a function of what the rabbanon consider to be more impactful in terms of mechitza, right? You're trying to tell me that the mechitza in the ogen is more impactful than the real wall? I don't see that. But speaking in those terms already makes it clear that he's dealing with a drabbonin. What's he saying? It shouldn't be better. What's that supposed to mean? What do you mean? You're analyzing the way it looks. It shouldn't be better. We're talking about computer technology of recognizing a mechitza. We're talking about a din. So he's saying it shouldn't be better. That's the point. He's talking about a drabbonin. So when it comes to the heter of Erevin, why would the rabbanim say that this thing is more of a mechitza than another thing? Makes no sense. But the Be'alcha sukkah, you're right. I mean, it's talking about a sukkah. What do I know? I mean, whatever the din is a mechitza, that's a din. If a mechitza tuluya is not a mechitza, I'm not going to make a sukkah tell you to sit in a non-sukkah because I like the idea of a mechitza tuluya. Where do I ever come up with such a thing? And Rabbi Yossi would not necessarily agree with Rabbi Yehuda either. Because Atkan, look, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Yachal, I'm a sukkah. Look, the sugya of sukkah is what? And it's agreed, it's a diraitha. But it's a mitzvah taseh. It doesn't enter into the tchum of terrible isurim of any kind. You'll be over in the mitzvah taseh if you're not eating a kosher sukkah. But if you had do something on it, which again, mechitza of Shabbos, albeit in this particular case, it's only a drabbanan because of a ruvah chatzero. But Shabbos, the inyonim of mechitzas on Shabbos represent the essence of the maize of Bereshis. I mean, you're talking about a chiv skila for a slight difference in a mechitza. I'm not going to play games with a mechitza of Shabbos. I'll tell you, mechitza tuluya is kosher of Shabbos. When it comes to sukkah, I'll tell you, mechitza tuluya is kosher. It's a very important yisod, by the way. Generally, people have a very simple and simplistic way of looking. It's a drabbanan, it's a diraisa. Not true. There could be a drabbanan, I'd be more machmaran than a diraisa. A drabbanan in a sugi of Shabbos, even though it's only Erevin, where mechitza is the essence of Shabbos, I'll be more machmaran than I will on a mechitza. That's the gay mitzvah, sorry, on a diraisa in sukkah. Everyone takes this for granted. It's very possible that he wouldn't have been makel when it comes to Shabbos. It's a very, very cultural thing to know. Okay? So therefore, we can assume that being as the two of them address completely different sugyas, there's no reason to believe that they would agree with each other. So now, if that's the case for Im Tomar, Ma'aseh She'naseh B'tzipori, Alpi Minaseh, there is a place in Banei Bezneirahun. It's called Tzipori. And guess who was Rosh Hashiva and Tzipori? Rabbi Yossi! So now, if Rabbi Yossi himself would never have said that there's a din of mechitza tluya on Shabbos, then how did that famous story ever happen in Tzipori when Rabbi Yossi was Rosh Hashiva? Says the Gemara. We'll see what the story was in a minute. It wasn't Rabbi Yossi. It was Rabbi Yossi's son, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi. He became Rosh Hashiva after him. Lo alpi Rabbi Yossi, el alpi Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi. Umay ma'aseh, what was the famous story? And you will recall, we had this famous story also when we were learning Erevin. The famous story was that they had to hide the Sefer Torah in one of the houses in the chotzer, where, or in a mavui, two different approaches, where the Beit HaKnesset was located, because the goyim would come sometimes and steal the Sifrei Torah out of, you're leaving before we get to the part that's nogei you. Ah. So they hid it in the house. Usually they would make a sheet of mevaot, so they'd be able to carry it from whatever house randomly that they put it into the Beit. They forgot to make their sheet of, so they couldn't lay in the next day, because they couldn't bring the Sefer Torah. So then what do? They realized that they had a clothesline, and so the women had left their sheets hanging on Shabbos, which all the neighbors were screaming about. But Lamaisa turned out that because the sheets were hanging on the clothesline, they had a straight mechitza between the house that had the Sefer Torah on one side of the Mavui and the Beit HaKnesset on the other, and therefore they didn't need the Eruv, because they had a mechitza all the way. Oh, exactly. That's our question. So certainly the sheets were not hanging next to the ground. No good housewife would do that. So it must be that a mechitza tluya is kosher. So if you're claiming that according to Rabbi Yossi, mechitza tluya is not kosher on Shabbos, how did they bring the Sefer Torah? Answer is, the Gemara was his son, Rabbi Shmuel. He was more makel, even Lagabi Shabbos. But Rabbi Yossi only said his din, Lagabi Sukkah.
Family business is never the same.
So it says, let's just see that inside. Umay ma'aseh, techiyas revdim yamar pa'am achat shachachu. ולא הביאו ספר תורה מערב שבת, ומחר פרסו סדינים על גבי העמודים, והביאו ספר תורה וקראו בו. פרסו? What do you mean? They couldn't have put the sheets on the line on Shabbos. How did they get them out there? מהיכן הביאו בשבת? How did they get, if they didn't make the ערב, how did they get put on the sheets? Sorry. מצאו סדינים פרוסים. They didn't want to say it, you know. But actually, the sheets had been left there from ערב Shabbos. על גבי העמודים. והביאו ספר תורה וקראו בו. אומרו חיסטו אמרו, ביני, you know, if this is the case, then it's so easy to make a sukkah, because all you need is, you need one roll for your wall, one short roll of bamboo, right? All it has to be is 4 tefachim plus. There's nothing, because you basically figure what you've got, 8, maximum 10, a 40 centimeter, maximum, because each year it's been less than 10 centimeters. You know, something about this high, yay high, 40 centimeters high. That's your wall. Unroll it, that's your wall. How? Very simple. Hang it within 3 tefachim from the top, up till a little bit less than 3 tefachim from the bottom. So you got 41 centimeters. Now you got 11 on top, 11 on the bottom, 4 in the middle, 6 and 4 equals 10. And I have a kosher sukkah. I have a full wall. Let's see if you got it right. Seems to be okay this time. Yeah, I know. I can't see anything wrong with it. This is terrible. I can no longer say it's invariably the other case. So, all you got to do is unroll it. So what do you do? Hechi avit, toli lebemsa. You hang it in the middle of the wall, as long as it's within 3 lamata, within 3 lamala, and it's got that little mashu to make up for the little bit less. V'chol pachot mishloshat elavodami. Yeah. I mean, what's the kind of standard? Any kid knows that. Pshita. I mean, what's, once you tell me it's a little lovet, I know that. No. Ma'adatem b'chad lovet amrina. Trey lovet lo amrina. Ah, where'd you ever see 2 lovets before, huh? I got you there. So mamela, you see that even 2 lovets is kosher. Yeah, Lamala Lamata. Tosfos asks, how in the world could you say we never heard 2 lovets before? When we were talking about using sticks, kone, within 3 tefachim, you had dozens of lovets. Where's this 2 lovets? How could that be? Right? This is very, very strange. He says, maybe the Gemara was thinking that there's a difference between horizontal and vertical for some reason. So that we need to have an extra raya that you can use 2 vertical lovets. Not only 2, the other lovets were a lot of horizontal lovets. So that's really weird. But it should have said the same thing. It should have said cheetah on that too. Meisvei. We asked on this that it says in a brayta, machatzelat shiva v'mashu matar pesukah mishum dofen, that you're going to need 7 plus, which is mashu. You can't use 2 lovets. Because if you use 2 lovets, all you need is 4 plus. What is 7 plus 4? 7 plus 3 minus a little would give you 10. Ah, kitani besukah. Let's talk about a tall sukkah. A tall sukkah had a problem. Yeah, normal sukkah, basically. Normal sukkah, if you hang it up within 3 of the top, it's not going to hit 3 in the bottom. But we said if you don't have 3 in the bottom, you have a problem. So therefore you need 7 in order to have the mefitz of 10. So then what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that you can hang it from the top. That's a chiddush. Like a mashman, the mishashal indefanis with the mala lamata, Rabbi Yossi. It's telling us you can rely on the din of mechitza tluya. Amar Bami, how about the other direction? You're talking about a vertical pas. If you take a pas arba'ava mashu, you also have a kosher sukkah. You use that as your wall, going from top to bottom. Because mukim laba pachot mishlashat fachim samach ledofen, you put it up within 3. And then that gives you 7, because you've got 4 plus, and then you've got a little bit less than 3 is 7. 7 is the shear of the dofen of a sukkah ketana, and then you've got a sukkah ketana. V'chol pachot mishlosha samach v'dofen kelovotami. Well, my kamashman, I stand, obviously. No. A kamashman, shir meshach sukkah ketana shiva, indeed. The chiddush is that a sukkah only needs to be 7 tefachim. That is a big problem here, because there's a heck of another issue that's involved. As Tosis points out, if you're trying to tell me how little I can get away with, you could go down an awful lot less than this. This is a lot of material. You could make that wall basically invisible. Just use like a little piece, put it within 3, and then that piece is sealed, and take another 3, and put another tiny piece, and then you got like the whole thing with a third the size, a fifth the size. Why is this an issue, Bichla? Why do I need a piece of 4? So Tosis indeed suggests that there may be a problem of having only vertical pieces without anything crisscrossing, because we find that sugya back in Erevin, that we were only matir mechitza, which is either shiti or Erev, in cases of emergency like a shayara that's traveling. But normally, we like to have a crisscross mechitza. So what the Gemara would then be telling me over here is that if you have arba'ah, then there's no problem. So you can use your lovehood without a requiring for crisscrossing. But then why does the Gemara say pshita and answer akamashvan sukkah shiva? It should have said akamashvan dein makpidim al shesiva erev or something. And it seems like the ikur is left out of the story over here according to Tosfos. This is something we're going to have to see later on, whether indeed, and this is why Abba, why I said Abba shouldn't leave, Abba sukkah is made only from vertical beams. Doesn't have anything crisscrossing. So his question is, can he rely on that? Or does he have to put up within 3? Does it put some kind of wire? Yeah, some type, exactly. So it shouldn't just be vertical. Okay, that's exactly the sugya. We'll have to see if we have more rias to this and see what the halakha would be. Okay. Kufa. Omra bami partevyumi sechecha bevaloi kelim tzula. May bevaloi kelim arma bayam atlonir chayim bem shalosh ha-shalosh delo chazinan lo lanim velo lashim. Tani kubas is bami partevyumi. Mahatzela Chashifa Vishogami. Shiareafa Pishanifatu Mikishura, Aim Misachimban at all. Mahatzela Takanim originally Gidola Misachimba, because it's used for Schach. Ktana, Aim Misachimba, because it's used for lying on. Ribbon Yezra, it doesn't matter the size. Afi Mikabelatuma, you can never be Misachimba. Hacho take the Gadish, Omrivunaloshan Alasha Insham Halal Tefak with Meshach Shiva. Avoyesham halal tefak b'meshach shiva, areze sukkah. Tanya nami achi, achotek b'kadish l'asukl sukkah, areze sukkah. Aye, it says, first the Mishnah ain't a sukkah. Elo lav shmamina, kerevuna shmamina. Ikidurami la mirma. Tzdan, achotek b'kadish l'asukl sukkah, ina sukkah. How does the bride say, areze sukkah? To which Ravuna replied, lo kashe, kan b'sheyesham halal tefak b'meshach shiva, kan b'sheyin sham halal tefak b'meshach shiva. המשל שדפנות מלמעלה למטה עם גבוה מנה שלושה טווחים פסולה, מלמטה למעלה עם גבוה 10 טווחים כשרה. רבי יוסי אומר, כשם שלמטה למעלה 10 טווחים, כך מלמעלה למטה 10 טווחים. ומאי כמפלגי, מר סבר מחיצה תלויה מטרת, ומר סבר מחיצה תלויה אינה מטרת. צענתה, בור שבין שתי חצרות אם המעלים ממנה בשבת אלין כנס על המחיצה 10 טווחים, ואם מלמטה בין מתוך הוגנו, ובשמר גמליאל אומר, בית שם אומרים מלמעלה, בית הלל אומרים מלמטה, אמר רב ירא לא תהיה מחיצה גדולה מהקוטר שביניהם. אומר רב אברהם חנם רב יוחנן, רב ירא בשיטת רב יוסי אמרה, דיומר מחיצה תלויה מטרת ולא היא. לא רב ירא סבל רב יוסי, לא רב יוסי סבל רב יהודה. Lord, we just have a look at Yosef, can no come rebuild also, but be a roof, a chatseros, the Rabbanon. I will always sit here, right, hello? But Lord, if Yosef have a look at Yosef, can no come rebuild also, I will be sukkah, the mitzvah, I say, I will Shabbat, this is skill, hello? Vim tomar maase, shena sebet zipori, al pi minas, ha? Lo, api Rabbi Yosef, api Rabbi Shmo, Rabbi Yosef. Umay maase, תחיית הרבדים יום הפעם אחת שכחו ולא הביא יוסיף את אורמי ערב שבת למחר פרסוס עדים אגבי עמודים והביאו ספרי תורה וקוראו בו פרסוס על גדי דרך מהיכן הביאו משבת אלו מצאו סדינים פרוסים אגבי עמודים והביאו ספר תורה וקוראו בה אמר פיסטר מרבים ומחצרות ארבעה ומשהו מותרת פסקה משום דוף ואיך יעביד לה תעלה לה באמצע פחות משלוש של המטה פחות משלוש של המעלה חור פחות משלה כלא עבודו פשיטה מעלים אחד לא ולאמרין את שואל עבודו אמרין כמה שמולן מיתרי מחצרת שיבה ומשהו מותרת פסקה משום דוף וכיתן יהיה פסקה גדולה ומאי כמה שמולן במשל של אינדפנות מלמעלה למטה גרביוזי אומר רבמי, פס ארבעה ומשהו מתיר בסוכה משום דופן, מוקים לו בפחות משלושה טווחים סמך לדופן, וכל פחות משלושה סמך לדופן כלא ודמי. מה כמשמעון? כמשמעון שיעור משך סוכה קטנה, שבעה.